Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And it's the quarterfinal, baby G. We're ready to go.
Wow, four more of these and we'll have
a whole
$1.25.
No, Bits.
Four more quarters?
Oh, four more quarters in addition to this quarter.
Yeah.
Starting at 25 cents. I was like, no, it's called a quarter because four of them equal one, not 1.25.
Well, my goodness, we've made it. Nancy, we don't have any leftovers, do we?
Nothing. So let's just begin.
Okay, Nancy, episode 8, quarterfinal. What's your amuse-bouche reaction?
My amuse-bouche is the same as my amuse-bouche for every single season when dessert week comes up, which is, what is Bake Off if not a full season of dessert week? I do not understand the distinction between dessert and everything we've been doing up until this point, with the exception of bread week. Although I think we did donuts for bread week, so it counts.
It seems to be a miscellaneous catch-all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something that like can't be its own whole week. Like things that cannot have their own standalone episode find their way into dessert week.
Okay, yeah. I always just assumed it was some like technical definition of what dessert is. But I don't know. I think every single year when they do this, I'm like, what are we doing this week?
Yeah, no, I hear you. But then we also have Mexican week, so maybe –
tacos.
Maybe, you know, we shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of dessert week, let's get into this signature challenge.
I am thrilled that we saw a cheesecake.
Wait. Hold up. Sorry. Bits, what's your amuse-bouche reaction to this episode?
See, it's funny. I had the same thought, which is I feel like I've kind of had the same reaction for a lot of these episodes. I'm going to take it into a different territory. I really had a fun time with Allison and Noel this week in the tent. I'm really enjoying them as hosts. And you know, I think I will take it further to say that it's very hard for me to not smile when Allison laughs.
Allison is an absolute treasure. I am so happy that she's been brought into this show. Ironically, I have in my notes, this is the point in the season when Noel becomes insufferable to me.
He has confirmed, infuriated you starting now.
It's just, there are so few bakers in the tent, so there's a lot of dead space in the edit. And that goes to Noel causing problems.
Yes.
But it's so funny that you were like, this is where this really picks up for me.
You know, I don't know. I will say, between now and the finale, I watched all of these episodes at once.
Oh.
So it was a bit of a massive, congealed dessert, for lack of a better word.
I understand. A trifle, perhaps.
A trifle. Yes, it was a trifle. But yeah, so that was my amuse-bouche. I think she's so joyous. I kind of like their like light dark thing that they've got going. She's like just this ray of sunshine.
Yes.
He's like this little goth kid, even though he's like 60 or something. He's like a crazy age compared to what you think he is.
Yes, he is a lot older than what you think. Yeah, Allison Hammond is a gift to Bake Off. She is such a delight. As I said, like, I get a lot of compilations of Allison Hammond's best interview moments.
Oh, yes.
They are so funny. They,
did you see the one for Blade Runner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like full on belly laugh hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She is really, really good. But okay, let's get back. Sorry, I didn't mean to skip your – I didn't mean to disregard your opinion. There are two of us here, even though I'm just looking at my little screen.
My opinions were regarded.
Okay, so talk to us about this signature Basque cheesecake.
Yes, for this signature, we had a Basque cheesecake. I will say, you know, we had with the signature and with the technical, I love the way that they always set the stakes the same. You know, it's like, cook it too long and it'll be overdone.
Yes.
Cook it not enough and it won't bake. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, that's like what baking is. But for this,
that exact note.
Yes, it's so great. Like, how many different ways can you say that? I will say, though, for Basque cheesecake, it did seem to present a challenge that the bakers had to remove it from the, like, baking paper.
Yes.
From the parchment paper. So that was, I guess, a nice little, you know, difficulty. I will say, if we were to, I'll just say, let's start with Aaron. He did, as Aaron is wont to do, a very mm-hmm. cool mix of ingredients and flavors. He did a sake plum gel.
Yes.
And a Basque cheesecake in sake. That sounds very cool to me.
This week, I thought, had gorgeous bakes, like, through and through. And he always does something vaguely Japanese. Maybe we need to leftover this. I think one of his grandparents is Japanese.
I think that's right. Yeah, let's leftover that, though, because, yeah, I think because
he made
right.
some comment about, like, honoring his grandfather or something. But he just has done so many Japanese-inspired bakes. So, you know, it's possible we should look into
and
this.
And he doesn't. Does he not like cheesecake, or was
he doesn't
that a
like trifle?
Bake?
Although I will say,
like trifle.
I don't like cheesecake.
I can do like a small,
yeah,
half a slice. I can't eat more than that.
Mm-mm, but people love Basque cheesecake; they go absolutely gaga for it.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about the difference between a New York cheesecake and a Basque?
Yes. Well, to quote Prue. Unlike New York cheesecake, anything you say after that, Prue, I'm not going to like. Don't dog on New York City, the greatest city in the world. Anyway, unlike New York cheesecake, which is a thick brick of cream cheese, effectively.
Yes.
Basque cheesecake is very soft and gooey, and it's burnt. Like, you cook it so much that it is burnt, so the outside stays intact, but it remains very soft on the inside.
Okay. Okay.
If, gun to my head, I had to eat a piece of cheesecake or I would get shot, I would prefer Basque cheesecake to New York cheesecake. Okay. But I'm really
good to
not
know,
because
your birthday's coming up.
And I bought a gun.
And I have to buy a cheesecake. So let's see. Let's see if she really eats it.
That was incredibly dark. I would like the listeners to know that I do not own a gun. I do not think that's funny. It was a contextual moment.
But okay. She would choose Basque over
But
New
I would
York.
Choose Basque over New York if I had to, but neither of them is really tickling me. But let's go on to, you know, Miss Plain Jane herself, Jasmine.
Oh, yes.
So Jasmine once again does a passion fruit dessert. Here's the thing. I think that Jasmine has unlocked something that I have always known to be true, which is anything with passion fruit is incredible. Any dish with passion fruit on any menu, I will order. I am an absolute sucker for passion fruit. Hook, line, and sinker. Even if it's like on something that I don't like, I don't love shellfish. Have I had a scallop crudo with passion fruit? Absolutely. Because I just want a vehicle for passion fruit. And she has clearly figured out that this is a winning recipe because everything she does is passion fruit.
Yeah.
And it masks the flavor of everything else.
Yeah. Passion fruit's the one that has, like, the really dark seeds, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't have any, like, allegiances to passion fruit as a fruit, but Jasmine does, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
And, yeah, again, she's beautiful, great job, blah, blah, blah. I would love to talk about Tom's.
Okay,
he
let's talk about it.
He did a black sesame cheesecake.
Yes.
That, this is, if I had to have a slice of any of these, I think this is the one I would want. I feel like black sesame cheesecake could be an interesting, and you know me, like I'm very much like a flavor purist. Like I don't like I'd rather just have like a plain cheesecake than like some mm-hmm. flavor element. Mm-hmm. But I actually think that the black sesame could be a pretty interesting expression of it.
I had incredibly low expectations for this.
Yeah, especially because it was like pure black.
Yeah.
Like it was a very dark cheesecake. I kind of liked that, but then you couldn't really tell if it was browned the way that it's meant to be.
But I like Prue, like when he described it visually, I was like, ugh. But then I thought that visually it was stunning and or yeah. striking, I guess. I wouldn't say stunning. It was very effective in what it was trying to do. And I really appreciated Tom for that out of the box thinking.
I agree. Also, I don't really like love, you know, early on in the season, I feel like the judges were unnecessarily rude to Aaron. I feel like now the tide is changing where they are unnecessarily rude to Tom.
Yes, they were so rude to him this week. And we'll talk about it in the showstopper. But I was like, Paul, can you let up? This is not fun to watch.
No, yeah. I don't know if I find it attractive. Like, are you for real, Paul? Like,
also, because Tom is so funny. I don't. Now that we're famous on TikTok, I watch all of his content, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, he's got like
he and Aaron are like homies, and they make really funny videos together.
Oh,
and
I saw the one with all of her clothes off and Aaron.
Yes,
yeah,
so funny. And also, Tom had a hilarious moment at the top of the episode where he was like, we've gotten it down to a great group of bakers. The other seven were total assholes.
Like, yes, dude. Oh, my just, God.
I'm really enjoying Tom, and I want them to be nice to him.
I know. Leave Brittany alone, am I right?
Yes. But then we've got Toby and Ian, both of whom I love. And Ian with the banger of an orange bake today. Orange and everything, including color.
Unreal. He is my favorite.
He's such a sweet guy. I love him.
Yeah, we had some citrus up in here. But, okay, let's talk about the technical, shall we? Because
yes.
How many of these did they have to make?
Six, 12? I think.
Six. Okay, it's always six or 12, which I guess is fine. Yeah, it's a dozen. They had to make
a standard measure.
Gluten-free upside-down orange puddings with creme anglaise. There can never, ever be a dessert technical without creme anglaise.
Creme anglaise.
They love their sauce.
They love it. Yeah, so we got a whole orange challenge. So everyone's making oranges. Yeah. They may as well have had them all make croquettes. Am I right, Top Chef fam?
Am I right? My goodness.
I was really excited to see a Banh-Marie. We haven't seen one in many seasons. I guess they had to do it with the souffle, or maybe not. But it's just been a while since they've had to use sort of like kooky cooking methods. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that. Or like the heat source had to be is different from just throwing it in the oven, which I loved.
I love that too. I also just like love I love when they do the – I know that this is like a pudding with just – you know, the sponge with the syrup. But I just love that. Like, I don't know. We don't really – the closest I've done to that, I guess I've made like olive oil polenta cakes with a little bit of like a citrus syrup. That's nice. But it's not a common – it's not something I generally gravitate towards. All right. So Aaron unfortunately took the last rank in this technical.
I know.
His was raw in the middle, but there was some pretty good creme anglaise. Jasmine was number four, which felt very low for her. But she needed syrup.
Yeah, let her get a taste of what it feels like to be a normal person. She's gotten such special treatment in this tent.
This should help. This is like her, you know, what do you call it? Like, if she's on her hero's journey, she needs to have this setback in her story in order to really fly.
Yes. Very well put. And boy, is she on a hero's journey. I'm getting a bit tired of her hero's journey. I'm being really mean. But it's just like, I think actually a lot of people on the internet feel this way. As I now spend more and more time on it.
That's a really
famous.
Good way of validating your thoughts.
Yeah, what the masses on the internet think. Because they have famously been a force for good in this world.
Oh, brother.
But okay, so we've got in last place Aaron, then Jasmine, then Toby, then Ian, and then Tom. Suck it, Paul. Tom
suck
won.
Suck it, Paul, indeed. Nice height, nicely steamed, rockin' flavor.
Rockin'.
It's so funny. I didn't realize that Tom has only ever come fourth in technical. That's the highest he's ever ascended prior to this technical.
Tom's gotten such a raw deal.
Yeah.
Same with Leslie.
Yes, that's for sure.
We did call that Tom would be the Christian of this season, and I think we're right.
Yeah, he does the most interesting flavors. He kind of like doesn't care to like kowtow those flavors.
Yeah, you're like going to eat that chili crisp, Paul, and you're going to like it.
You're going to like it. Well, my goodness, we're now at the showstopper. The contestants this week had to make a freestanding trifle.
Celebratory trifle.
Oh, thank you. Celebratory. What do you think of this showstopper?
I have never heard of a freestanding trifle. I was actually floored that they had to do that because to me, the best part of the trifle is the giant dish that it's in. It's essentially right. like an upside down cake stand, or it's a cake stand with walls. And like, it's so cool to see this huge bowl with all this stuff in it.
Yeah.
They did beautiful things. I like, don't get me wrong. I actually think they all did incredibly well visually on this challenge. But I just think making it freestanding lost a lot of, for me, the joy of a trifle, which is the huge thing. You just take a spoon in there and go, whoop.
Right. And you can like see the edges of it like, a, yes. like an ant farm.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying.
Trifles are the ant farms of dessert. You heard it here first.
I wonder what it means. Like, why is it like, don't be like, why are you trifling?
You know what? Let's leftover, because we haven't had enough leftovers this season, I think. We're going to leftover Noel's age, I think. There was something else we were left. Oh, Aaron's Japanese, potential Japanese heritage.
Yes.
And let's leftover the etymology of a trifle.
Okay. I love it.
I think it's going to be interesting.
It is like just, yeah, to bring it all home, a freestanding trifle is a bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess we'll allow it.
We'll allow it. So let's talk about what the bakers made. Let's start with, also celebratory of what?
Yeah.
Save that for judgy table. Tom. Let's talk Tom. Tom, I thought had a beautiful inspiration, which was, he said he went to Greece and his mom like made this incredible dessert that was just almonds, lemon, Greek yogurt, and figs.
Yum.
That does sound really yummy.
On ingredients alone, I would love to have eaten his.
Yes. And it also was beautiful. I was really annoyed because Paul was like, it's too big. All of these things are enormous desserts. That was a completely unnecessary and unfair critique. Jasmine's was actually wider than his. His was tall. I'll give you that. But I think a tall dessert is elegant like Tom.
Right. Speaking of tall, did you catch the comment about Noel referring to Tom as like a lanky Disney star? Like a lanky I told you. Didn't I say that? He looks like the like a character, like the just like prince who's like ends up being the bad guy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're aligned on that one.
Baddie Prince Charming.
The other one I would like to talk about is Toby, who went for like a Christmas.
Yeah.
A lot of people did the what do you call it? When you have like the design in
the decorated collar, I believe it's called.
Yes. They all did like a decorated collar. His was like Christmas ornaments and a candy cane and stuff like that.
Cute.
So yeah, he had elderflower. Peru was psyched about it. The sponge was a little hard, but
it's gonna be boozy. Yeah,
he did that like weird jam thing on top too. A lot of people did the like blob of
The
jelly.
Dome. So I actually, they serve absolutely no purpose for me, but I like them. I do think that they're fun and weird and
it's
delightfully
weird.
British. I was actually really excited that we had some domed gelées going on here.
Yeah,
just so fun and like
it
bizarre.
It really ratcheted up the stakes. Like that was honestly like where the drama came from was how well they were able to get the shape into their domed gelée.
Yes, it's so true. Unfortunately, Toby's sort of fell apart, which I felt really bad about.
Yeah, that sucks.
But yeah, Toby's was the only one that was actually a celebration of anything.
Yeah.
So good
Christmas
on Toby.
Is a safe bet on that one.
Mm-hmm. But we had two other decorated collars. Would you like to talk about Ian or Aaron?
Yes. Let's go Ian. Okay. Ian had a beautiful decorated collar.
Beautiful.
Like that, the detail work on that was insane.
Yes.
He also had like a Sicilian
sun.
His was Sicilian inspired. So he had this like Sicilian sun in the gelé. Beautiful inlay. The jacquard was a little firm though. So.
Yeah. A lot of the interior layers or elements of everyone were lacking. I actually think that every single one of them delivered on visual, on Showstopper. With the maybe with the exception of Toby, but it just wasn't polished, but it was still excellent.
Yes, yes, yes.
I actually think that all of them sort of fell off with the flavor and texture of things. And I think it's because it's a freestanding trifle. A trifle is a dessert that is meant to be walled. And they made them take it out of the walls.
Yes. And like soaking and like, I don't know. I just feel like, yes, a lot of moisture that you get for free when you put it in walls is now.
It's structurally compromised.
Gone. Yeah.
You're compromising the structure of the dessert by taking the walls off.
It's disgusting.
Frankly, I'm disgusted at the affront to walls in this dessert. Gosh.
They broke all the walls.
Breaking the fourth wall, mind you.
Oh my God. Okay, well how about Aaron's then? So as we said earlier, Aaron hates trifle.
Aaron's
kind
was
of a crazy thing to hate.
Yeah, that's fair. Aaron's was beautiful. Aaron's was stunning. Aaron's to me was the absolute most gorgeous one of all of them. It was so refined. It was so beautiful. It wasn't cheesy. I thought that Jasmine's was cheesy. It was nice and it was well executed, but I thought it was, as always, uninteresting. I thought Aaron's was beautiful. The way he put the jelly on the fruit but didn't totally submerge it, gorgeous. Yes. A white chocolate wraparound collar that was beautifully streaked with red.
So cool. I'm looking at it now. It really is stunning. He's just got the little pops of color.
Yeah.
The flower was gorgeous. He did a great job.
I loved it. Unfortunately, they said that his baked elements weren't perfectly cooked and the textures weren't right, but the flavors were good. Okay, Paul. Mm.
Okay.
I'd like to see you take the walls off your trifle.
Biatch.
Biatch. We don't believe in walls on this podcast.
No walls.
I guess we do believe in walls. Once again, I'm just going to take these jokes out. They are not funny. Inappropriate.
You can tell we're like in the quarterfinal. Like we're just sort of like biding our time. Like let's.
Yeah, that is very true. But I think that covers everyone. Jasmine, you know, good for her. She made something that stood and was strawberry and lemon.
Yeah, always a classic combo. That's my preferred combo, if I'm being honest. Even over passion fruit.
Well, I'm sure it was great, Jasmine. Whatever. Now, let's talk about our judging.
Hmm.
Who wins this week, Bits?
I don't remember.
Are you kidding me? Okay, Jasmine won.
Oh,
by
good.
Default, I actually take, once again, great umbrage with her winning. It's like, they're like, no one really blew us out of the water, so we'll give it to Jasmine. Give it to someone else. Aaron's
is
more
if
beautiful.
If it doesn't matter, I was a little disappointed that Aaron didn't. He did come in last in the I think had he not come in dead last in the technical, it could have gone to him.
Yeah, but I don't care. Dead last, it's out of five people. Like, oh my gosh. They were the margin of error on that technical was so mild. I just, once again, you know, I just think that we need to give other people some accolades in this tent.
Yeah, it's getting a little boring now.
It is boring, and it's a little boring. Just like, I can't take it seriously if they just keep awarding the same person over and over and over again.
Yes. But I think the thing that's the most disappointing is that Ian went home.
I wanted to ask you about this. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Like, he definitely was my favorite.
I know.
Did you see him on Instagram? He was like critiquing the people that went as him for Halloween.
Yes. So funny. So funny.
See, that's using your fame for good.
for good. Everyone listening, please make us famous. We would be funny on the internet if you made us famous. We wouldn't be weird or annoying.
We don't really have a good costume, though, like he does. I love that they, like, referenced him in his now wife's, like, engagement photo shoot.
I know.
No, I'm really bummed because I thought he did, like, fun stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather see someone, like, shoot for the stars and mess up every time than somebody, like, ride the middle all the way to the
Yes. end. And I think the thing that really bugs me is that the way Jasmine is just running away with this season would indicate that she was a standout in the tent, but there are so many other equivalently good bakers. And so it would be one thing, like, even though, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, Danny Garcia on his season of Top Chef was clearly a cut above. And so it was very difficult to not award him every win because – he just was better than everyone and no one really held a candle. But there are people who are just as good as Jasmine in this tent. Yeah. And so when the history books are written on this season in thousands of years, when archaeologists come and look at this season of Bake Off, I hope they're listening to our pod. But also they'll think that Jasmine was so much better than everyone, but she wasn't. Like Jasmine up against a bunch of other winners with the same record that she has. I don't think she wins.
I think I think we have been led to believe that the margin is wider than it is. I agree.
Yes.
I agree with that fact. Yeah. I agree with that. Well, luckily or unfortunately, we only have two more episodes.
I know. But do you want to do judgy table?
Yes, I would like to do judgy table.
Okay, Bits.
But your time. Let you go first.
Oh. On the spot. I don't think mine's going to take a whole minute, but Nancy, your judgy table starts now. Bring back narrative bakes. None of this celebratory. If you're going to make us celebrate something, give us the holiday. Give us the season. Give us the time of year. Tell us that it has to be about our deepest, darkest secret. It must reveal something about the baker. I'm done with these generic bakes. The end. Mm. That's all.
Delicious.
That was a 17-second judgy table, but I think I got my point across. Bits, your judgy table starts now.
Bring back showstoppers with, like, multiple baked elements. I feel like we've had a lot of showstoppers recently that have just been the thing. And I think, Nancy, that goes to – this actually feeds in nicely with yours, which is unless there's a clear narrative, there's not a lot of opportunity you can't just be like, make macarons and make gingerbread and make – like, the narrative is what forces the constraints or the requirements to bake an array of baked goods in a single showstopper.
Yes.
So I would like to see more of that. I feel like we've sort of gotten the one thing. And, you know, I think in past seasons there's been a lot more consideration or, like, acknowledgement for when people – pull in multiple different sponges versus just, like, a single flavor sponge. And granted, this is maybe me not clocking it completely when it happens, but yeah, bring back, like, the multi-element showstopper.
Yes, especially this late in the game.
Yeah.
You know, like we are now at the cream of the crop. These people should be able to handle insane tasks at this point. And it's almost as if they got all their big guns out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
We should be heightening. We shouldn't be
heightened.
Descending. Oh, anyway, okay. Two more Eppies. Can't wait to see what happens. I do know who wins. It got spoiled for me on the internet, and I know you've watched all of it. So we know what happens, but that won't stop us from covering it and talking about it.
No, it won't.
No, it won't. Anyway, we'll see you back here next week. Bye.
Bye.